KC2WI. This is KC2WI. Anybody listening? Did anybody do the net?
Not so far, Ryan. 5AOW.
Okay, then. This is KC2WI Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Pete. The net's held every evening at 9 o'clock on a Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater. The repeater is located 2.5 miles or southwest of Boonville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. And if anyone is listening and doesn't hear the net being called within a few minutes, you're welcome and encouraged to take the net control position. You can go to the club website, which is BoonvilleARC.com, and the net preamble is a document that's on that website if you want to sound official. This is KC2WI. Emergency traffic is priority at all times, could break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Over. Bring down, are there any portable battery powered or mobile stations? Over. Are there any Echolink stations? Over.
This is Kilo Alpha 3 Tango Foxtrot Bravo. That's KA3TFB, KA3TFB Bill, Bravo, India, Lima, Lima, in a little town of Wexford, western Pennsylvania, checking into the Echolink system. Over.
Okay, Bill, I already forgot your call because I didn't write it down. KA3TXB, I think it was. Go ahead.
Roger, Roger. I can just say one word. Brr. This is KA3TFB, Kilo Alpha 3 Tango, Foxtrot Bravo. And good evening to all there up in New Yorkville. Indeed, it is a chilly, chilling evening here in the Pittsburgh area. And we just want to say hello. And we'll be in listening mode, and at a convenient time later on, we will be signing off. KC2WI, Net Control, take it over from KA3TF and a B, and indeed a good evening to all.
Okay, Bill, your audio dropped way, way down for a lot of that transmission and came back up at the end as if you had, like, a short in the microphone cord or something, so check that out. I copied most of it. The temperature here is 6 degrees. My thermometer said the high was 30, and my friend just not too far away told me he thought his this is a cheapy thing, but he has a good weather station. He said he had 33. Could be that much difference just because of our location. And he said that the high was early this morning. I really didn't pay that close attention. I'm not sure he's right on that, because I don't think it was that warm this morning. But it could be. And now, and it's been going down. He said it's been going down all day. 6 degrees here. And we've had some real low temperatures, and then we had a day where it never went below 15 at night, so, and then it got cold again, and then it got a little warmer, and looks like the foreseeable future here, it's these kind of temperatures fluctuating between a little bit not so cold, and but not it, so far, at least last I looked, they weren't forecasting the 20 below nights like we had a couple of. But they're not forecasting any highs very much above the low to mid-20s, maybe. We had quite a bit of lake effect weather today. I don't want to say lake effect snow, because we didn't get that much snow. If you looked out the window, you'd say, man, there must be a foot of snow, because it was just snow all the time, snow in the air. But an awful lot of it was just blowing snow off the, you know, the roof and stuff like that, and there's actually only 3 or 4 inches deposited on the ground. and if that. And we had a few inches the other day, all real cold snow, really nice snow to use a snow blower on, or just even shovel it, not real heavy. And so there's about 7 inches on the ground on top of the hard stuff from the last thaw and then refreeze. And but it was just blustery windy today, and I never had to drive anywhere. I just worked at the house, and the only thing I did was uncover one of my snowmobiles and ride down to the end of the street, basically, where the guy that works on them is, and talk to him about one that he's one of mine that he's got in working on, and we were doing some strategy on what we were going to do there. And then I rode over to the post office, Glenfield, which is all of about 2 minutes. Walk over there just about as fast as the time it takes to get the snowmobile uncovered, started, and all that stuff. But since I hadn't been on one for a while, I decided, well, I'll go out. And that was about it. I did not put my helmet on, so therefore I did not have a face shield on, and I didn't have glasses on, and I was only going 10 miles an hour, so it's not like I was, any real speed there, but even at that, it was kind of tough. You would kind of, there's snow in your eyes and blink in your eyes and that, and the helmet would have been useful for nothing else than keep the snow out of my face. And I just went to the post office and came back, covered the thing back up, and went inside, and the wind finally died down at 3-4 o'clock, and after it was calm for a while, I decided it was probably worth going out and running the snow blower, and really a lot of the driveway is partly covered by some cedar trees. I could have just used a snow shovel. Mainly I did it for getting the when I looked on the radar around noon, it was a thin lake effect band coming basically straight off the end of the lake, and it was basically a horizontal straight east, and the only thing is it curved up a little bit, and that was just, I'm sure, following the the airflow around the front or the system, just the natural curvature. And I saw that in the time lapse that I looked at it, it was dropping down from here or maybe above, whatever, and down to sort of the Oneida County line, Boonville, out through the middle of Herkimer County, probably Morehouse, and up that way. But I didn't really see, it wasn't showing much in Syracuse, so I guess the wind was just straight off the lake, and as far as the lake effect part of it. And boy, it looked, it looked serious, but like I said, not that much snow. Anyway, and I guess then the N2O IQ was right about it being the high this morning. He said 33. And I did notice when I went out, I can't remember if I went out before, but I did notice when I first went out that the snow actually was, you step on it and it was kind of obviously not real cold. It, I won't say exactly melted, but sort of in the street. So, yeah. Anyway, this is much better than rain. I'll take this any day over 40-50 degrees and rain in January. We need to keep our winter conditions here for winter recreation. The businesses are happy. I'm sure the businesses down around Boonville and over towards Forest Port and that, I guess they got some snow, and up into Speculator, my dad said they got 6 inches. So, it's good, they need it. Anyway, the next station is, I think it's N5AOW. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, N5AOW. Yeah, temperatures, I guess, that everyone's reporting is pretty close. We had 26 here in the morning, and it's 4.7 now, so been dropping all day, and of course blowing and on, but just staying inside, staying warm, and no need to get outside unless you had to. So back to net control, N5AOW.
Okay, Bob. Yeah, you know, it wasn't too bad when I went out, and when I was blowing snow, of course, the wind had calmed down, and it was, I don't know, 10 or 12 or something, but, you know, it wasn't bad. I guess, you know, the perspective is after it's been 22 with a high of minus, I think one day the high was only like minus 8 or something. This doesn't seem bad. What's your QTH there, Bob?
Hutter Lake.
Okay, I think we talked before, I just don't remember it. How much snow did you get up there?
Well, I think basically kind of hard to measure really with all the wind. I went out and plowed about mid-morning, and the best I seen in different areas was probably, I guess, 4 to 6 inches. But I think overall, I think a lot of that was on the ground. We might have got collectively maybe 3 to 4 between afternoon and evening. So it really wasn't a lot. It looked like it was worse than what it was.
Yeah, well, we had, I'm trying to remember when the heck was it. Oh, Saturday. Saturday was a nasty day, and I never went out, and we had some snow, and I think we had some on Sunday. I did go out towards the end of the day. I went into town. It wasn't snowing when I know when I went out driving, it was all right. So we had a little then, and I think with so little, I definitely did not run the snowblower. I just pushed it with a shovel. And then we had the snow today, and I went in a couple spots where I hadn't, you know, done anything, and over into the neighbor's backyard where nobody is in the winter, so nothing gets disturbed, and stuck my yardstick down until I hit the hard stuff, and I averaged about, I think we have about 7 inches of, you know, new snow on top of the hard, you know, the old stuff, and that would be, I'd say, from, you know, from the last few days, and I think, you know, 3 or 4 of it maybe was today, and you know, maybe it was 3 or 4 and it settled and whatever. But about the same here. You may have gotten a hair more, but I don't know. All right, thanks for the report there, Bob. And this is KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley Service Net, and we're looking for additional check-ins. You're not for quieting, but you're making it, you know, good readable.
Okay, Pete, I'll just say hi. The antenna is down because, you know, we're moving up north, so it's only about 5 feet off the ground. It's out here in the garden on a stick, so it's not even, it's down 25 feet more. I won't keep it up on noisy, but it's kind of amazing getting into the repeater with such a moderate antenna. We'll say 73 to all WA to you on the compromised antenna installation.
You might be a little hard if you're trying to listen to you in the car with, you know, noise or something, but you're perfectly fine. So, yeah, that's pretty good. 5 feet off the ground. You know, I don't know when I was out in Clay there, if I just didn't, you know, I probably could have got this antenna, this repeater, but I guess I just never hung out up here. But that's interesting. I had a J-pole, a copper pipe J-pole I made, and it was up on the roof. And of course that's, you know, two stories, and it's pretty flat up there. So, boy, I think it probably could have got in. But I don't recall if I tried it and never got anybody here, if I never checked into the, I'm sure the Black River Valley Service Net was going. But in any case, John, we'll say 73s, and I envy you moving up there. Sounds real good. I may end up in Lake Pleasant. I mean, that's the goal. And who knows? Anyway, 7-3, this is KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley Service Net looking for additional check-in. This is KC2WI net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I want to go and modify my webcam blog page with snow condition reports I try to update for snow and trails around here, and I'm going to put a line in there about 6 inches of snow on Outer Lake received by ham radio report. Anytime I can get a chance to plug amateur radio, I'm going to do it. Anyway, this is KC2WI, and this is the Black River Valley Service Net, and we'll make this a final call for check-ins or comments. Over.
Jeff, Pete, how did you like your J-pole? I made one also out of copper. Of course, the coax came off of it, I guess, in the high wind, but I've been real lucky with this one. It seemed to tune somewhere in the area of about 1.4, but I was getting into the repeater from Otter Lake here and with about 2 watts, so it did a pretty decent job at that point. I got to get back up there and get the coax hooked up to it again. And 5AOW.
Well, that's what I'm using on this radio here. And the radio is an old... the radio is an old ICOM 28H. And this is the second time this has done this. A while back, maybe a couple months ago now, I don't know exactly when, the backlights went out on a display, and they did that once before. Well, this is the third, I guess, we're starting on the third round. The backlights went out, and I said, oh, well, they finally gone, it's an old radio. Oh, well, and then I kept using it, and all of a sudden one day the backlight was back on. And so I kept using it, and then not too long ago, maybe a month, 2 months, I don't know how long now, backlight out again. And I said, well, I guess that's it. And I just looked over here, and the backlight is back on. So anyway, it's, I don't know what the output power on this thing is. I'm on low power anyway. But that's what I got hooked up to this, is a J-pole just real quickly thrown up on the edge of the roof. I don't know if it's the same one that I was using years ago in Syracuse. I had another one that somebody gave me, the first one I made. Yeah, I think it's a great antenna. You know, if you can make one out of a scrap copper pipe, so you're not buying the copper pipe, it's pretty dirt cheap. And even if you have to buy a piece, it's not that bad. The only thing is, you know, they're kind of heavy when you make them out of copper pipe, and so if you hang it off of a, you know, tall mast, it's an awful lot of weight for the, you know, size of the antenna. But I never had any problems tuning mine up. I think what I did, and I can't remember with this one, both of them, I think they actually found the right spot and then soldered the coax on. I think maybe I actually drilled holes and put little, you know, little sheet metal screws in or something. I don't remember. And I think this one has a little coil of coax here as a choke. Probably not quite enough, but, you know, it is 2 meters, so it probably doesn't take too many turns. And I have no idea what the SWR is. I know it's pretty well. So, yeah, I'm real happy with it. Over.
Roger on that, Pete. Yeah, I was with mine, too, when I built it. I was surprised with it, you know, how well it really turned out. And the coverage was quite well on it. Yeah, with the exception of doggone coax coming off. In fact, it cost me some finals on one of my 2 meters, my mobile rig. And I thought, you know, it, well, it was just one of those things. It did it in the wind we had couple of weeks back, and, well, not much I could say about that. It's off. But I had made another one. I got to get up on the roof and get the coax back on it again. I built another one that's just a vertical, and that works quite well. But I think in the next couple of weeks I'm going to make a dipole for 2 meter. Simple enough to do, and you get great coverage out of them. So, but that copper one, I'll tell you what, I had good response.
Yeah. Well, in the front of the house, I got a copper pipe 2 meter dipole that I made a few years ago, just sort of, you know, junk box, and I was on the porch and I wanted to, you know, have a radio, and I just, I had two pieces of copper pipe that were basically cut the right length because I had been years ago working on some other antenna idea, and that, those were sitting around. I never could get the other one to work. But, so I took a plastic water pipe, T, and I took a little piece of plastic water pipe, and then I took a plastic water pipe elbow with tabs to mount it on the wall like you'd mount maybe for a faucet or something, you know, on a utility sink or something. And I ran the coax, and it just saw some piece of RG58 that I had, up through, you know, all the plastic pieces into the center of the T, and jammed the two copper pieces of copper pipe into the plastic pipe T, and it works great. And I had it just sort of mounted on one of the porch posts, and it worked, but, you know, it was not very high. And then I just took a board and tacked it on the edge of the roof, and, you know, maybe a couple, 3 feet up, and, you know, screwed it on that. And it works pretty good, and it has, like, infinite bandwidth. I mean, on 2 meters, you can go, I don't know how many, I tried it, but you can go lots of megahertz. And it also is just perfectly happy on any 440, you know, frequency you want. You know, it's the third harmonic. So that works really good, and it was so simple to make. I don't know if the two pieces of copper pipe are still jammed in there, if I jammed them in hard enough, or if I maybe put a little, you know, drilled a little hole and put a little screw through. I can't remember, but boy, that worked really nice. And, you know, again, it was junk box, simple to make.
I was getting this chuckle out of that when you were talking about it. Yeah, that's pretty much what I did, too, but I soldered everything, and it seemed to work out pretty well. But, you know, it's amazing what you can actually put together. You know, you put the formula together and do a little trimming on it and so on, and it's quite forgiving. Like you say, you know, you're working on 440 with it, and it's still doing amazingly well. I don't know, sometimes I think a lot of these antennas tend to overthink them, you know, and you get a little carried away with them, but, you know, simplicity seems to work quite well in a lot of cases.
Right. Yeah, like you say, if you passed your test by learning it instead of memorizing the questions and answers, then doing things like that is, you know, not really rocket science. I don't know on mine. Maybe when I put it up high, I it was just a temporary thing and it worked and I had it up there. Maybe I did solder when I put it up high. I don't really remember. But the thing is that the diameter of the copper pipe is a pretty good percentage, you know. I mean, it's pretty fat at 146 megahertz at, you know, 40 meters or 20 meters or something. The difference between a piece of wire and that copper pipe is probably not going to make too much difference in the bandwidth. Of course, you wouldn't be making probably even a 20-meter dipole out of copper pipe. It'd be awful heavy, but you know what I'm saying. And so it's just so, you know, it's just so broadband. Anyway, it's fun to do stuff like that. I actually made another one
real quick up at my dad's house. I needed something outside. I took a board, I took two screws, two you know, all-purpose, you know, sheetrock screws, and drove them into the board with a drill, took two pieces of coat hanger, cut them the right length, and, you know, bent them around in each other end, and took a piece of RG-58 and, you know, stripped the end, and that's my 2-meter antenna up there, and it works great. You know, that's the kind of thing, if you take to a show or demonstration or something, you say, well, look at this antenna. It's an old scrap piece of wood and a couple pieces of coat hanger wire, and so this goes to show you don't need to spend a ton of money on things to get started. And, you know, it works good, and I just stuck it on a piece of pipe, an old piece of... collapsed, and I had a piece, and I stuck a piece of wood, maybe 3 feet, a board, and jammed it into the top of the pipe with this, you know, the piece going out sideways with the antenna on it, and it's been there for 2 years, and it's fine. And I think I took it apart once and, you know, cleaned off the rust on the, where the coax contacted it, you know, but anyway, it's fun to do that kind of stuff.
Roger on that. I know what you mean. I've been playing around with a lot of stuff through the years. In fact, back a good number of years ago, I had a beam, a vertical, and M4 up there in an array, you know, and you're worrying about the wind and everything else, and I eventually either took it down, sold it, and so on. I'm working with inverted Vs and dipoles now, and I've been talking around the world with it, and I said, and it's all homemade stuff, rather than get into all the other paraphernalia I have, and I found that, pardon me, I found that that works equally as well as anything that I've spent a lot of money on.
Yeah, well, yep, that's all I have is, homebrew G5RVs and dipoles and a 20-meter vertical on the roof that's made out of various pieces of, you know, old antenna and metal roof as a ground plane and stuff like that. And it works pretty good for what I got. Anyway, we'll say 7-3. I got, I want to do a little more work here and try to sort of catch up. It's one of these days we're really going to have snow, and I would like to go out snowmobiling. I've been sort of putting it off because, you know, well, we had a couple inches of snow, but it's all ice underneath and, you know, this and that. Well, I can see we're getting back to good conditions. And actually, I think, except for the non-visibility today, it would have been the nice conditions for skiing. You know, the wind was good. Or tomorrow, if it isn't windy, or the next day, this is nice snow for downhill skiing, if I was still doing that, but I gave that up. There's only so much I can do, and snowmobile just sits there, and when you want to go ride it, it's there. You don't have to buy a lift ticket and and all that stuff. Anyway, 7-3, Bob, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, Pete, really enjoyed it, and 5AOW for ID. Yeah, I know I did the skiing years ago, and of course, I'm a little bit old and brittle now to do that, you know. In my 70s, but I'll tell you what, I got a sled out there I usually get on, and my wife's sled is there, and we just haven't had the season this year to do it. But if we get enough snow, maybe I can get a few runs in before spring comes. And at that time, then I'm firing up the bike, and I'm going to get out and take a ride in the warm weather. So with that, I'll leave you with a 73, and maybe catch on to that again. N5AOW clear.
Okay, well, I guess we never really close the net, so we'll just say if there is anyone else who'd like to check into the Black River Valley service net or any more comments, please call now. Okay, nothing heard. This is KC2WI now closing the Black River Valley service net and returning the repeater to other amateur use.
This is KA3TFE signing off from the EchoLink system. Good evening to all. That was extremely enjoyable. And catch everyone later on some other time. Be safe out there. KA3TFE, good evening.
Is the repeater in use?
It's all yours.
Okay, this is KB2KOJ 4OCTAN, the United County Traffic and Emergency Net. OCTAN is currently being held on a 145.17. Are there any stations with or without traffic?
N5AOW, no traffic.
N5AOW, thank you for checking in. Do appreciate it. Anyone else for OCTAN?
KC2WI.
KC2WI, hello Pete, thank you for checking in. Do appreciate it. Anyone else for OCTAN? This is KB2KOJ for OCTAN, the United County Traffic and Emergency Net. Are there anyone else wishing to sign in with or without traffic? Okay, and I hear Rochester coming in here, but they're not interfering with me here. Are there anyone else for OCTAN with or without traffic?
This is KK2Q with no traffic. Good evening, Mark.
Okay, KJ2Q, hello John, thank you for checking in. Do appreciate it. And what else for OCTAN? This is KB2KOJ for OCTAN. I'm going to make this a final call here for stations with or without traffic. Final call for OCTAN, over. Okay, nothing else heard. I want to thank everyone for checking in. Do appreciate it. And we'll say 7-3 to all. Hope everyone has a good evening. Stay warm. It's going to be cold tonight. KB2KOJ is correct.